Yeah, welcome everyone. It is Father's Day and I've got this wonderful task of continuing our series. And for those who are going to eat something this afternoon, fathers are going to be blessed in whatever. I'm actually speaking about a very important characteristic trait of Christian life, and that is fasting. What a joy to have fasting on Father's Day to present you. Hopefully in the weeks that follow, you'll enjoy today, but also learn and discover a discipline for each of us in our Christian journey. Over the past weeks, we have been going through different attributes that make a beautiful cake or a bit of damper in bread and all of the ingredients that present that. So recently, we've looked at prayer and the importance of communicating and speaking to your Heavenly Father, and to rest in Him in a confusing and busy world, to know your place of security in your Creator and to be at peace even though there is turmoil around you. And the quality of a giving heart, because Christ first loved us and gave Himself, we're called to be givers in the world, to one another and to all those around us. In fact, that's been the hallmark of Christianity, to care and to love and to give and to bless those. And may it continue in our life. And last week, Ben spoke about fellowship, what it is to commit to others and to grow together and to have an interest in your brother and sister in faith and anyone else around you, to have fellowship and the importance of that. So we come to the next one, and there's two more after, God's word and the depth of knowing God's word and what it is to be a disciple maker. So there's two more still to come on the basics of Christian faith. And we're trying to apply a practical element. So guess what? I'm going to be sharing a few practical elements about fasting today that I've discovered again to share with you. I think it's one of the most least thought about attribute or thought about discipline, especially in our context here where we have so much around us to buy and eat at a moment. The purpose of fasting and what Jesus and the scriptures teach us. It is a command to go without food for spiritual purposes. That's what some theologians have tried to term the meaning of fasting. Now, I know there's those who fast from internet or turn off your mobile phones and go free from things. That's a good thing to do too. But fasting in a biblical sense is to go without food for spiritual purposes, because it creates a depth, a discovery in your own journey that you may not have experience without putting your body and life through some endurance before God. It is a command. And I have to concede that it's not a regular rhythm of my life. And can I ask for a show of hands if there's... I won't do that to you today. A regular rhythm of doing so. There have been periods in my life where I've had to set aside time to discern what's ahead, to discover something that's... and haven't had a breakthrough, or there's a difficulty of not knowing what to do about something. And then the Bible teaches, and we're going to look at that today, to set aside time to do that. But I've been challenged in this week and the weeks previously in looking at this again of the regular rhythm of this in your life, and perhaps even a weekly rhythm of fasting, setting aside something to restrain yourself of all the things we have for the glory of God, that He may work in you in ways that you have not understood and seen. And we're going to look at some text, especially what Jesus said. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can come together. We have so much at our disposal. And Lord, may You, as fathers, men, women, families here, discover something deeper that You have called and presented for Your followers to have a rich, full and increasing healthy spiritual life set aside for us by following You. Guide us today. Amen. So we're going to start by looking at Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7. Now, those who may not know, that's called the area of the and you find the Beatitudes in this section, and it's also called the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most famous sets of teaching that even those from secular backgrounds quote this section of reading that Matthew records. And chapters 5, 6 and 7, Jesus makes a whole range of things of what it is to to follow him. In other words, love your enemies, do good to those, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, all those wonderful texts that are profound, that have actually changed Western society for good, are found not only in all the words of Jesus, but specifically in Matthew chapter 5 to 7 as he taught, and then he lived them out too. He wasn't just a teacher, he lived what he spoke. But chapter 6, he says a few things and says, when you give, dot, dot, dot. When you pray, dot, dot, dot. And when you fast. So let me read the when you fast section, Matthew 6, 16 to 18. When you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites do, for they disguise their faces to show others that they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head. In other words, clean up, wash your face, so it won't be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father in heaven, who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Okay, what a significant start from Jesus. So the normal expectation, and it seems to be in the culture, that people fasted. But there were those who did it for show, to demonstrate how spiritual they were. And Jesus said, they'll get their reward in full. Don't do that. But it doesn't mean don't do it at all. It doesn't mean don't have a discipline. When you fast is the statement. Ergo, that means it's an attribute of a disciple. Implicit in there may be various areas of need or restoration or change that you're wanting to see in your life or around you. To go without food for spiritual purposes, not for a public show of pride. We have so much, and it's time to set aside to seek him. God will reward, not if you fast or just when there's times of stress or when there's need, but when you fast. As common as your heart as you would give to your family and those, as common as you would pray, the calling is to fast. Who's feeling comfortable right now? Not many of us. Perhaps this is a significant discipline for many of us today, including me. A new pattern of denying ourselves, because we have so much, but deny ourselves, to humble ourselves physically for spiritual purposes, for some discernment that we need to see the Lord work in, that we can't find a way through. God has provided a way to see us in action. James, the brother of Jesus, talked about humility in this journey. He says, God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Humility and fasting, you know, there's an interesting correlation here. Submit yourselves to the Lord. We know this verse because there's trouble. Submit yourselves to the Lord. Resist the evil around, or resist the devil himself, and he will flee to you. Come near to God, and he will walk with you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you're double-minded. Like, can't make a decision. Then he says, grieve, mourn, and wail. Like, we're struggling with things in this world. May your laughter turn to mourning. May your joy turn to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Okay, Father's Day is a good thing to say to us men, to humble ourselves, men and women, to seek the Lord to lift us up. You know, we're always facing things which we need our Lord to lift us up from. Every one of us, whether there's evil that we see around us, difficulties in a workplace, pressures that haven't been resolved, conflicts in family that are still ongoing, pride and sin in our own lives, God has provided for us an avenue to walk that way of restitution, and it's in humility. And, you know, an attribute of fasting coincides with that. You might ask, what's fasting going to do with humbling or humility? Isn't that just an internal characteristic? The act of going without, or to reducing gluttony, if you like, or to reduce waste, to setting aside my desires for the holier purpose that God has called us, has great humbling attributes for us. Controlling your body and mind provides a foundation for humility to grow, to be experienced and to be applied and to be rewarded, because God says he rewards those who seek after him in this way. So here's some stories of those in the Old Testament. King David wrote about a situation where he was facing an unjust persecution. People were accusing him of things. Now, there was a few things to accuse David about on his journey. But this is later on. I think he's grown in maturity. And he says in Psalm 35, "Ruthless witnesses come forward. They question me on things I know nothing about. They repay me with evil, but they repay me evil for good. They leave me like one bereaved. Yet when they are ill, I put on sackcloth and ashes. I humble myself with fasting." Now, so David was facing a personal crisis. A personal attack was on him. And as he matured, he chose this path of humble fasting instead of bitterness and resentment, the natural path that we go down when things happen to our character. "I can't resolve this, Lord. I need your help through prayer and fasting. I'm going to wait on you to do something bigger than I can." That seems to be David's experience. And perhaps you need here today to humble your life in this way, to seek God, bring change in an area that you desperately need. You might think, well, I'm the cause of my problem. I brought it upon myself. Why should God give the mercy to me? Because I do this, I have a certain characteristic, I stumble over these issues, I fly off the handle, whatever it is. God is not available for me. Interesting. We see another story in 1 Kings 21. A guy called King Ahab, who is recognized for being an evil guy, someone who rejected God's purposes. And when the prophet came to him and told him of his ways, he behaved in the most vilest manner. He went after other gods. He worshipped other things. He even obeyed Jezebel. That was his wife at the time, that whole Jezebel story. And when it was labelled on him, his conviction, he says this: "When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, he put on sackcloth and ashes, and he fasted. He lay there and went around meekly." And the word of the Lord heard. Have you noticed what he's done? He's humbled his heart and practically did that before me. "I will not bring the calamity in his day." So that was held off. Here's someone who didn't have a good history. And notice that every generation has the opportunity to humble themselves, even the one to come when God delayed it. Every generation has that. No one is beyond that act of mercy to us. Each person in each generation can seek him, humbly coming. Perhaps you need to fast to humble your life, to seek God to bring change in areas. Sincere fasting and restraining ourselves from food and pleasures for spiritual purposes is a demonstration of humility towards God. Not for earthly recognition, but a private characteristic that God is inviting you into, and for each of us to transform something that he desires in your life, and he's watching you of how obedient we are. Jesus taught that he's the one to be followed. You're not to be instructors. You have an instructor, him, the Messiah. "The greatest among you must be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled." Boy, don't we need to see humility in our world at the moment from leaders. "Those who humble themselves will be exalted." It's a promise for us. Fasting is a step of humility, along with the other characteristics given for a disciple to follow. Jesus said, "When you fast." He was implying a constant rhythm of a disciple, not just in times of need. In addition to those rhythms will come times of stresses where you set aside more to seek him. To engage in a specific fast is necessary when pressures come. And I'm going to be engaging and asking us to do that towards the end of this service for the needs of our church. But first, before that, God calls us to have a discipline of regular considering this in our life. Not an easy Maccas when you drive home, or not downloading everything we need, but to say, hang on, do I need all these things? Can I wait upon the Lord more? So it's our bread and butter. That's what this series is about. Practical action. And perhaps God's given us a rhythm of 6 days and rest, or that Sabbath rest in that rhythm. Perhaps you can find something. And A lot of research now is about a weekly rhythm is very good of fasting for your body health and well-being. Somehow God knew these things well in advance. The old scriptures have been very profound in preparing body and mind and life for us. A weekly rest, when applied with a Sabbath of some kind, prayer, meditation, and fasting, has an opportunity to develop and open up in our lives more than we can imagine. It's a step of obedience. So here's a few practical things, because that's what we want to nail in for us today. Start with one significant meal a week. Perhaps replace it with water. Maybe many of you don't eat much anyway. Maybe you're setting aside things already, but I want to suggest start a rhythm. Replace a meal with water. Seek God in prayer. In the lead up to this, in the weeks, Jackie and I have got a years ahead next year. We don't know where it is. So I've been endeavouring to say, Lord, what am I doing in my life? And setting aside some time this week. I actually went to my GP because I was having some look at my skin. I have a few issues. Did the normal skin check. And I asked him, because I know he's a believer. I said, I'm considering encouraging others and myself to do fasting. And I've shared what I've done. And I said, well, can I encourage people to start with, if they can't do that to start, is it easy to start by replacing a banana for breakfast, an avocado for lunch, and an egg for dinner? Is that a healthy way? I've seen it on the internet and all those things. Now, I'm going to ask a GP before I suggest it to you. He said, that's a healthy way for people to begin to reduce yourselves. And maybe at the end of that, God will bring you to more deeper. But perhaps it's too much to start. And I encourage you, one way to do that, setting aside one meal per week, perhaps moving the next week to two meals, perhaps at the end of 3 weeks this September, one whole day, setting aside that the Lord may do something in your life. I have to admit, I started that last week and I had a difficult day. I had an unbelievable stress that came straight upon me the day after I started. I said, Lord, this is great. I'm setting aside this to do something. So don't be under the illusion that tests won't come. It's obedience. And I'm trusting that I'll do that again. And I'm sharing this to you after the event. I'm not trying to be like the Pharisees, but as a testimony, I want to walk this with you. Maybe that's a test of endurance that God is calling me into, and for each of you, for some greater reason that you cannot see at the moment. How do you humble yourself other than an attribute like this? So men, this Father's Day, I'm going to put the charge to you first to lead your family in your home and to be an example what it is to set aside and not to have everything. Today's the day you do. God's divine providence that this is the topic today. But perhaps this next week you consider what it is to set aside some things to seek God more deeply for an area of your life. And my suggestion is we got 3 weeks in September, and we finished this series in September. And we actually have a barbecue service on the 28th of September. And I'm going to be suggesting a full day to that. But first, in the weeks from now, if there's no rhythm in your life, I want to encourage you to begin one this week, to share that step and to trust the Lord that He's doing something. And maybe there's areas that you want to ask the Lord for. I can't see a way through this one, Lord. I've prayed, I've waited. And I said, well, now trust me, deny yourself and watch what I can do. You know, there's strong health proof, and I'm not a physician. I know there's a few here that have a greater experience. I've investigated again that fasting weekly and increasing that over a month has increased health benefits, and you all know these things. I'm just reminding you things, perhaps. I found a quote from a physical support person who's one of those motivational speakers, doctor, who's gone and researched this. He says, embracing discomfort can lead to greater happiness, improve mental clarity, increase gratitude, deeper understanding, and a deeper understanding of what it means to be human. I think he was reading from the Bible and he didn't even know it. And may we think, even our world around us recognises what it is to set aside things. The more comfort we have, the less capable we are of handling discomfort. It's okay to be uncomfortable. for a little bit. Real growth and meaningful experiences are often involved in stepping outside your comfort zone, which requires confronting feelings of discomfort. And whether that's food or whether that's health, we tend to run away from it too much, but perhaps we can learn something. In another little research, cancer, diabetes and heart disease, the three top ones, are exponentially helped when setting aside a fast. But I'm not going to go into an area I'm not qualified to suggest. You can do your own research there and speak to your own doctor if you need to. But I think it's pretty universal that we have too much. And I think I did some looking around. It takes 17 hours for your blood cells to finally get a chance to regenerate. 17 hours of fasting. So if you do that over several days, your blood cells and things fight things more. Your body can increase. Obviously, if there's pregnancy and other health issues, I'm not your physician. I'm encouraging you to make sure you keep those areas consistent. We all know the story of Daniel being sent off to a strange place and all the wine and beverages and everything in the king's palace. And he purposed in his heart to set aside 10 days. Now, I don't know, 10, 5, 40 days, we know Jesus fasted. God will discern what is right for you. But I'm saying start small and slow. But Daniel and his guys, 10 days they set aside to eat good things that were natural products from what God had given, not processed foods. Perhaps that's a good place to start for all of us, to humble ourselves, seeking to make fasting a regular rhythm in our lives, personally. All right, I'm going to talk about corporately now. We see in the scriptures too that there's a gathering together of believers for a corporate fast when there are consistent issues that need to be answered or get direction for. We see this in Acts. The early church was gathering together. Believers were finding all sorts of oppression and difficulty going on. Yet, God was calling to send two of their main leaders away. I mean, I'd be there saying, no, we need as much help as we can get. We're oppressed in many ways. But here we see Acts chapter 13, 1 to 3, verse 2. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting. Oh, sounds like a normal rhythm of life. Worshipping the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, second time as a group, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. A rhythm happening and a calling for something greater. So there's no surprise in the body, no surprise in the system, because it's happening in an everyday disciple's life. Released Paul and Barnabas, they went to speak to the nations and did great things. We have recently just finished the book of Jonah last month too. And here we see another situation where a king proclaimed a fast because he'd come to a conviction that they were out of sync with what God had wanted for them. And he actually went a bit further. Do not let any people, animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them drink at all. Such was his conviction. That might have been a little more specific for that time for him. Who knows, he said, God may relent and turn from his fierce anger and we will not perish. That's the next one along, Dave. No, Rob. A king called for a corporate fast. Then we know Ezra, who has had to take the exiles back home in a troubled time when there was war around. And he said, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for our children with all their possessions. That's a group gathering together. And I was ashamed to ask the king, right? He promised that I could go and do things. I didn't want to ask the king. I needed the Lord's protection, he said. So we fasted together. The gracious hand of the Lord was on everyone who looks after him, but his great anger is against those who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned the Lord about this, and he answered our prayer. So there's a private rhythm and a corporate calling together. And for those who know the story of Esther, Queen Esther, for such a time as this, when her nation was about to be again over the centuries taken and obliterated. What an amazing nation that Israel still survives, only by the hand of God. Here we have another encounter. way back then. They were all about to go to die. And Esther was called and to stand firm. And what did she say? Go gather the Jews who are in Susa, fast for me. Do not eat or drink anything for 3 days, or 3 days at a time. And my attendants will fast also. When this is done, I will go to the king. If I perish, I perish. I confronted queen, decided to do it, and called us. So there's a king, a queen, and a prophet said, hey guys, there's something significant ahead. Call us together. So I'm going to do that today on Father's Day. I'm going to mention a few things. For those who are guests, I fully understand that this may be a new thing to you. I want you to be encouraged that the body works together to seek the Lord for all decisions, not only for you as a person, whatever you're going through. This is something that you can apply, not just for health benefits that God knows, but for spiritual purposes. But for those here regular at Como, we have significant needs of our finances. Of our church are low and have been low throughout this year, and even more so in the last month. So I'm going to raise this as an area to fast and to prepare for, and to seek the Lord that he may answer and bring some direction in this area. Secondly, too, we know that our elders have been working very hard, and Edna's been part of our journey for the last year, and she's stepping down at the end of this time, come November. So we need to increase our capacity and our eldership to help sustain our church. So there's two areas I'm asking you when we come together corporately. For one day, I'm going to set that day on the 27th and 28th of this month. So I'm going to show you some things, and you can take these home to consider where the Lord is calling us to sustain this church financially and in leadership. And I believe it's time to declare a fast and invite anyone who would wish to participate with me in this, as well as the elders at the end of this month. So number one, sustaining provision to increase our finances, and sustaining provision to increase our eldership over this time in September. To go without food for spiritual purposes. I've shared this with the eldership a few weeks ago and prayed again later this week, and they've agreed that it's time to ask you and to put it so clearly. We are in a place of specific need for the ongoing sustaining of this wonderful community well into the future. And I've sensed the Spirit guiding me to talk about these three ideas, 3 days. So here's a thought for us. This week is week number one, from the 8th to the 14th. This is for you privately. Just set an idea, perhaps one meal this week. Ask the Lord for something in your own journey that he would reveal to you. Next week, maybe increase it to 2 meals. And the week after, from the 22nd to the 27th, maybe you've got 1 full day, 3 meals in 1 day. Perhaps you're already doing something and you can increase it as you feel right. Would you walk with me on this? Jackie and I are going to set aside Tuesdays as our day. As I've learnt just recently, I've to have a banana and an avocado and some veggies for the day beforehand didn't make the day of fast very difficult at all. It gave your body a chance to come in and out. And in fact, I think I lost about 5 kilos within a week and a half, so that's interesting. I'm now under 80, which I was struggling to get under. Sorry, byproduct. spiritual purposes, God has other things by that gift. Okay, can I encourage you to join with me? One of my maybe significant remaining things I can do as your pastor is to call us in this journey. So on the 27th, I'm calling this a 24-hour fast. So can you flick to the next one, please? Beginning on Saturday, have your breakfast, if you wish. But come 11 o'clock, I've got a flyer to hand out for those who want to take it and join with me. Come Saturday, 11 o'clock. Now, that's the AFL weekend, so that's a reminder. I watch the footy, I'm keen about it, but I'm not going to eat anything on that day. So set aside that lunch. privately at home, and then down here, 6 hours later at 5 p.m. after the AFL, and sit together for the elders and just pray here for 1 hour for those who want to join here corporately. And then the next morning, for those who are keen to sit on Zoom at 5 a.m. on Sunday morning, I'm going to be there for those who want to join to pray again. And then 6 hours later, after the service, when we celebrate Shoebox Sunday, and we go out and the barbecues are smelling or whatever we're going to do, and we restrain that until 11 a.m. and we will share a meal together. Can I encourage you to step this journey with me? You're all going, what on earth is he doing? This is significant. We do have financial needs and we do have leadership needs. God has provided many times in the past and he will do again. And I'm trying to be obedient and to call you on this journey joyfully. And you may see benefits physically and spiritually that you had never anticipated could break through. To humble ourselves is to develop the basic disciplines of faith, and fasting is one of those. To go without food for spiritual purposes. We're going to lead into a time of communion, and we also have those who want to study a little bit more about fasting, an actual resource for those who want to do that privately. But in the back there is a green A4 sheet which outlines those details for you to take home with you, and I'd like you to let me know who's joining with myself and our eldership over this month or 3 weeks and on that day. And I would be greatly encouraged if the majority of us did that. And I've been greatly encouraged if us men made sure it was a priority in this way after you have whatever you're going to eat today. You know, there'll become a time when we won't need to fast, when we'll be celebrating with all the great things without fear of oppression and difficulty. I'm going to invite the musicians back and we're just going to go into a time of communion. Thank you for hearing that. For those who are guests, we're an open community. These are the things we celebrate together and we share our needs. We pray for one another who is ill. There are those now we know that are not well. David, Mingfeng, we trust that the celebration of your mum's life this week was rewarding and that you were blessed in that journey, and we thank you for making it back and being here as one of us who lost his mum recently. We do want to remind ourselves that I think Natalie's another lady of our church is in hospital recovering at the moment, and Sue's down south visiting another family who's lost part of their family. There's many things. A few weeks ago we had a dedication, and we're an open community and we have needs as well, and we lay them before you to give and to trust and to join us in fasting. But now can I invite the stewards that would come forward with me? I don't know who they are today, and maybe Jackie, that's you there for the moment. Can you take that off for me? On the night that our Lord was betrayed, he took bread and he said, "This is my body given for you," and he took the cup and he said, "I give my life for you, do this in remembrance of me," and he did. And one day he said, "I won't do this again until I remember in the kingdom of heaven." So there's a time of celebration coming. So a segue from Father's Day to our Heavenly Father, a segue from fasting to celebration and to a community together. I'm going to pray and I just invite you to come forward, take the elements as you desire, and then I'm going to ask Ben just to close in prayer after that, and spend time quietly before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have purposed a community for us to be in. You've purposed a way of life, and forgive us, Lord, that in our world, we can often forget that you've called us to be disciplined people, to have discernment, and you've given us and gifted us a people, a place, and characteristic traits to follow after you. Thank you that we're saved. We don't have to earn our salvation. It's a simple trust in you because you died and gave your life, paid the penalty for my sin, for each of us here, and we come freely to accept that and receive the Holy Spirit. And after that, we want to grow deeper in disciplined life for you so that our character can shine like the stars as you've called us to be. Forgive us, Lord, when we're stubborn. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't want to apply ourselves. Thank you that we're still saved because of what Jesus did. In gratitude, we come and receive the communion. Amen. Please come forward.